you go to Brad, then to Killed, and Jimmy. Cool.
Okay.
Let's go.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the War Room. You got Dev, Kill, Jimmy, PJ, and B. Austin, the Hot Block Commander. Give it to you. How you want it? In a 1 or 2 hour show to keep the brain running with the premise to talk sports on a national level. Bold with them topics. Sort of like the Rebels. When it's game time, they like the Fab Five show on primetime. Sports conglomerates speak their minds a little bit. From sports medicine to sports veterans and greats. The 4 for 26, so the war ain't Kuwait. It's the War Room with 5 nights at the round table. 5 Philly guys.
It's Thursday, and it's 6 o'clock, so y'all know what that means. You are live in the War Room, and we are ready to get it in. I'm Dev, and I'm here with Jimmy, Akil, B. Austin, and PJ. Tonight, we're going to talk some NBA, the NFL MVP race, and we're going to be rapping with Rob. That's right, we're going to be joined once again by Rob Parker of ESPN's First Take and ESPNNewYork.com. Then later in the second hour, we're going to discuss the greatest NBA players of all time at each jersey number. We'll start from jersey number 00 and get as far as time permits. So as usual, we want to hear from you guys tonight. So when we open up the phone lines, call in and holler at us. That number is 323-410-0012. But now, it's birthday time.
My birthday, yay!
All right, our first birthday today is one Mr. Algernon Darius. You people probably know him as Algie Crumpler. He's 33 today. Brad, Algie Crumpler, I know this is one of your favorite tight ends. I think he's a bum, so I'll let you go first.
Y'all going to stop hating on Algie, man. He's one of the more underrated and underutilized tight ends in the game. And not only that, in his latter years, he's been willing to block. No ego.
Because he's bigger than everybody else on the offensive line. PJ, Algie Crumpler.
I'm just mad at his folks for naming him Algernon. He don't deserve to have a name like that. And his nickname week two is Algie. So he just got it all bad. Fortunately, he can play football a little bit.
Yeah, Algie, he was a solid tight end. I think Mike Vick made him better than what he was since at the time. You know, he was kind of like Mike Vick's security blanket when he had difficulties reaching the receivers. But, I mean, you know,
right.
He was all
right. Like, when Mike Vick started running, Algie Crumpler knew how to change directions and run across the field with his hand up, give Mike Vick a target. Jimmy.
Yo, I agree with one Paul Johnson. What is an Algernon? How do you look at your baby and say, you know what, he looks just like an Algernon? How do you do that, though? That's all I want to know. And he's a bum otherwise.
Algie, peace. All right, our second birthday today is one Mr. Luther Luke Campbell. He turns 50 today.
Yeah.
And I know you guys are wondering why we're doing a birthday shout-out for Luke Campbell, but B. Austin, you want to let everybody know?
Not only has he been an inspiration to most men under the age of 50, and given a lot of jobs to collegiate age women, he's a very staunch booster and supporter of Florida area sports, and specifically the Miami Hurricanes. He actually knows quite a bit about football, and his whole thing was, yo, these dudes are coming from the projects. They get no benefits for giving their blood, sweat, and tears. Yo, let me take care of them and help them out while they're in school, man. Shout-outs to you, Luke.
Bayon, Luke.
Yo, yeah, Luke, he's always been connected to the University of Miami. He was even on their 30 for 30. That fact alone that he made it to the 30 for 30 video. And also, he's an assistant high school football coach in Miami right now, and he definitely had a big influence on the hip-hop, African-American, and whoever else is in the hip-hop community back in the 80s and 90s.
Yo, I didn't even know he was a coach now. Jimmy.
Yep.
Yo, his lyrics was weak. Yo, but he did a lot for college football, yo. He helped a lot of the U players make it through, you know, without committing crimes because, you know, he was doing this thing in terms of being a booster. But he was dedicated to the U, and I remember him wearing the U hats and U jackets and everybody wanting to wear that. He made the school popular.
What's up, PJ?
Yeah, he, Uncle Luke, man, he helped a lot of the Floridian collegiate athletes lose their virginity. So, I mean, you can't knock a man for that. That probably made them better players in the grand scheme of things.
Exactly.
So, wait, let me ask a question. I got a question for y'all. Not to draw this out, but if Uncle Luke is coaching your son or daughter's football team, can you leave the cheerleaders farther away from
him? I don't know, man, because his videos kind of helped make me a man. So, I don't know. I might be welcome. I might let my son, you know, do his thing. You know, it's all good. All right. So that's Uncle Luke. Our next birthday is Bradley Thomas Lights Out Lidge, 34 today. Jimmy, Brad Lidge.
Happy birthday! Yay!
You know, my mom said if you ain't got nothing good to say, don't say nothing at all. So I'm gonna just let that go to the next, you know, to the next generation.
DJ, Brad Lidge.
Brad was my homie back in 08, man, for the championship series when he helped the Phillies win the World Series. Outside of that,
yeah.
I have to concur with Jimmy.
Yo, I think he's, like, being a Phillies fan, when he comes in, man, that's, like, the scariest time of any baseball
yeah.
game. Because dude can blow a 3-run lead in, like, 3 minutes. Kill.
I kind of agree with everybody else, but I think he's still better than Mitch Wilding Williams.
Oh, God.
Mitch was just more exciting because he might hit you in your face with the baseball or something. Brad. Bradley Lidge.
His name's Bradley, and I don't know nothing about baseball, I admit it. And all I remember is we won the World Series, and he got the same name as me, so that's my man.
Word. Oh. All right, and the last birthday of the day is Mr. James Joseph, a.k.a. Jim Harbaugh, 47 years old today.
My birthday!
TJ.
Yay!
Jim Harbaugh.
Jim, I'll put it like this. He's a better coach or has become a better coach with Stanford than he was ever a quarterback. So he was a serviceable quarterback, glorified backup, but, I mean, he's becoming a better coach.
Yeah, but do y'all
Stanford.
Notice that the backup quarterbacks are always the one who end up being
Good.
Coaches? Because they held
the
clipboard for so long,
yep.
all they do is study
mm-hmm.
and watch.
All they're doing is watching and analyzing what's going on.
Do you think McNabb would be a great coach then?
Hey, Jimmy.
He probably will be a great coach because you know how they say, like, you know, a lot of times the greatest players make the worst coaches and the players that weren't that good make the greatest coaches, so he probably would be a great coach.
Hey, Kill, but the dude don't even know that it's overtime in football. Hey, come on, man.
That's true.
He can He can coach him up on how to mope. Be a mope coach.
Yeah, but I think you summed it up. Jim Harbaugh, he's a better coach than he was a player, so I don't think we need to spend much more time on Jim Harbaugh. So that's our birthdays for today, and now Jimmy is going to let you guys know what was happening during the week while you were on the grind.
There's so many stories to talk about, but there's a couple I picked out that we should talk about. The first thing was something that really irritated me, and I want to see how you guys feel. Watching the Bernard Hopkins fight end in a draw, which was a disgrace to boxing and sports in general. That's my personal opinion. But man, I know PJ's like our boxing expert in the war room. So, PJ, what were your thoughts on the B-Hop fight?
B-Hop, man, I try to give B-Hop the benefit of the doubt because he represents my hometown. But B-Hop is becoming an artifact right now. And he's old, and he can't – his style of boxing is just old. And looking at the fight, it's just – I mean, he didn't look like the B-Hop that we know. He's struggling to get past these people and win these fights, and it's a draw, B-Hop. Like, seriously, man, he was hurt throughout the fight.
He was 75 years old when they fought.
I don't want to smash him. He's too old. I need him to stop. That's all.
I'm not all up in arms like everybody is about this fight. When the uh-huh. fight ended, I said to myself, because I was watching it by myself because nobody else was interested in boxing, but when the fight was over, I said to myself, I'm like, okay, this can't be any less than a draw. And it was a draw. I don't know why everybody's so up in arms. The dude got knocked down twice in two different rounds.
Yeah.
So he had like a 10-8 round, maybe two 10-8 rounds, or maybe one of them was a 10-9. And then he won most of the rest of the fight. But how do you think he can just come back from being knocked down twice and losing like the first four rounds of the fight to just winning? I think a draw was fair. I don't know why everybody
thought that. Right. I think it was 2-10-8, like you said, Dev. I wasn't mad about the draw. I'm just mad that he's even fighting because he's getting
dropped. Jimmy was upset about the draw. Like,
I definitely am. And I disagree because here's my thing.
I
don't think he got
even with the 10-8, I think at most the other jabroni he was fighting, I think he only won like three rounds, the two where he knocked him down and maybe one more round. I think he lost every other round. Dude himself didn't expect a draw. And then when they were talking to him, they were just disrespecting him, asking him about the draw. Did you see how he got disrespected?
Hey, but Jimmy, he don't remember because the knockdowns were early in the fight. Dude so beat up, he probably forgot that he knocked him down.
Yo, I think that Bernard won every other round. The punch number.
Can we agree that Bernard just need to stop, though?
Before we move on, let me hear what Akil got to say.
Hey, I was just surprised that he was still fighting. That's all I got to say.
See, Austin, you got any thoughts on this?
Like PJ said, Bernard is my man for the grand. Love him to death. I'm definitely a fan. Always have been. Always will be. Time to go, man. You lied to your mom. You told her you would stop boxing. About 7 years ago, and you kept rumbling. And his style, he chills for like four rounds before he starts fighting. And now as he gets older, it's biting him in his butt.
Well, real quick, though, he's one of the only guys that you want to see fight, though. Like, you see his name, you click to the channel. If the guy wasn't fighting Bernard, none of y'all would have watched the fight. And Bernard's not the man. I thought this was one of
his more exciting fights, actually. He was rumbling the dude. It wasn't like the Bernard we
his
used fight to see.
His fights typically are boring.
He was rumbling.
I don't care what none of y'all say. He beat that ball. Anyway, let's move to the next topic. let's talk some more boxing. Shane is to fight Pac-Man in May, and I know you guys got something to say about this, so I'm going to start it off by going to B. Austin. B. Austin, what you got to say about Shane and Pac-Man fighting in May?
I don't have anything to say about Shane because he's colorful. He's a colorful type of fancy dude. And Pac-Man, yo, that's my man, yo. He don't duck nobody. But let's get to the real issue at hand. Floyd, pretty girl swirl, Mayweather, you're a coward. And that's straight from the hot block commander on War Room Sports.
You weigh like a buck 47. What are you going
to
do?
Yo, all right, well, let's go to Kill. Kill, what's your thoughts on this?
It's kind of like, you know, the second fight in terms of everybody wanted to see Floyd and Pacquiao, and now they're like, oh, well, okay, I guess we can take Pacquiao and Mosley. What the heck?
Yeah. Kill, don't nobody want to see this fight, yo.
Hold on, when the 24-7 starts, y'all going to want to see it. Dev, go ahead, Dev.
I don't know why everybody's complaining. I want to see this fight. Of course I want to see the Floyd Pac-Man fight better, but this isn't a bad fight. I'm good with it. Like, two little dudes, colorful boys.
Go ahead, PJ, yeah.
Here's why I think it might be a bad fight is because if you looked at Shane when he fought the last fight against Floyd, he was gassed in two rounds. I think, part of that is his age, but also, Shane is the type of fighter that needs to get in a rhythm. And if you jab him like Floyd was jabbing him, he never gets a chance to get in his rhythm. If you notice, he kept like shaking his hands, trying to bounce, trying to jump up and down to get into his rhythm because Shane's effectiveness is highly reliant on his rhythm. It could turn out to be a good fight, like you said, Dev. I don't think it's gonna be a bad fight because when he hurt Floyd in the second round, he couldn't finish him off. And I think Shane is just getting old, and Pac-Man's got too much.
I mean, you guys say you want to see this, but let's be realistic, yo. Shane hasn't won a fight in over 2 years.
Yes.
He don't mean it's not exciting.
I know what boxing is, and Jimmy, I know you can attest to this.
He sees the ghost of Vernon Forrester every time he gets in the ring. He sees the ghost of Vernon Forrester now.
Vernon Forrester
in an exciting fashion. So I don't care if he wins or not. He gets beaten, and it's exciting. Floyd,
Shane can hit hard. Shane is a hard puncher for his weight, but he's just stiff. You know what I'm saying? He started lifting weights when he started going up in...
Last time Shane won a boxing match. George Bush was an awful show.
Yo,
but anyway,
I am not a Shane fan. I don't care if he wins. That was Shane.
Last time Shane won a fight, the UConn girls basketball team had a loss.
Yo, speaking of that, let's talk about that. The UConn women's streak is, you know, up to 89 at this point. They surpassed UCLA's men's streak. And I know Akil had some strong thoughts on this, and people was coming at his neck on Facebook. So, Akil, I'll let you start this off. What's your thoughts on UConn's streak?
I mean, to be honest, it's a great streak for women's college basketball. I mean, 89 in a row. But
dude,
if I have to compare it to – yeah, if I had to compare it to the UCLA John Wooden streak, I think that's more impressive. One, they had – many more closer games, which tells me that the competition was probably a little bit better. And UConn, you know, they've just been kind of rolling over people. And I also think there's just a talent disparity right now in the women's game and the college game, although your best women's players are more fundamental than a lot of your best male players. And that can be
Go ahead. I said, before I move on, I'm going to ask you this question because I've been hearing a lot of people debate this. And one thing that I looked up and realized is when UCLA went through their streak, they didn't play any East Coast teams until the tournament, and the tournament only had 25 teams. So UCLA really wasn't playing the top competition at the time. They were playing nothing but West Coast teams. So, and another thing is because UConn dominated the way they did, does that mean that they're more of a dominant team? So how would you answer those questions in terms of them not playing East Coast teams? And so there's a lot of arguments to be made both ways.
Yeah, I think not playing East Coast teams, I mean, that's a valid argument. But they did have had a lot more close calls in terms of games that were won by under 10 or games where they had to come from behind. And I think the women's college game, I think there's just a big talent disparity where I think UConn just beat Howard something like – you know, like HU, some of our alma mater on here, like 88 to like 22 or something like that. We're in men's games, you know. There'll be a blowout in the men's game, but it might be like 100 to 50, or it might be like,
well,
you know.
I'm not going to drag it on, but UConn beat more ranked teams than UCLA. I mean, they beat a lot of ranked teams. Stanford's a good team. Let me hear what everybody else got to say about this. Dev,
hey, let me
what's,
weigh
your,
real
what's your
quick.
Opinion?
Who, me?
Yeah, what's your opinion?
I think along the same lines as Kill. I can say that now. I sold you out on Facebook the other day, bro. I had already been getting screamed at on Facebook all day, so I didn't even join the conversation. But I think the same. I mean, I think it's a great streak. But the only thing about the streak is they keep comparing it to the UCLA streak, saying, you know, they surpassed those guys. I mean, I guess in sheer numbers, of course, they did surpass them. But in my opinion, the UCLA streak is. It's still more impressive to me. But props to the UConn women, man. It's a great accomplishment.
Real quick,
man, women can't play no basketball.
You know what? I'm going to move on from you before you get us cussed out. PJ, what's your thought?
Yeah, I just wanted, like, I kind of agree with Dev and Kill. I would say it's a great feat. I wouldn't compare it to the men because I just don't think the level of competition is there. And I think, don't quote me on this, but I think about 53 of those wins were by, like, 30 or 40 points or more.
Right.
Something like that. So I think they've been spanking. Now, I don't know if it's that they're that good or it's just a talent disparity. So,
well,
I mean,
I'm
not out for it, but I can't compare it to the UCLA.
I'm just going to say this, though. I actually look at it the other way. First off, I don't like comparing them, period. And it has nothing to do with the fact that it's men versus women. The fact of the matter is, we're talking about the 70s. In 2010-11, like, even if it was a men's team that had this streak, there would be, like, you know, it would be hard to compare just based on the time period, let alone the gender. So I don't like comparing it.
It's hard to compare things anyway. Eras, different sports, this is hard to compare, man.
But that's the great thing about sports anyway, because we still going to do it. So
that's
what happened while, you know, y'all were on the ground. Let's move on to the you know, my favorite part of the show.
All right. So now we're going to pass that rock. If this is your first time listening to the show, Pass the Rock is a little segment we do when each of your hosts gets to rant on any particular sports topic of the week. And then when we finish, we pass that rock on to the next person. So I'm going to start it off today, and I'm going to be real brief. And we say that all the time, but I'm dead serious this time. So I'm going to talk about Rex Ryan and his little foot fetish. All right, I'm going to be brief. I would simply like to know why is it that Rex Ryan recording his wife twinkling her damn toes is national news. Have we sunken this far as a society that these kind of things are amongst the most interesting things going on? What that man does in the privacy of his own home, hotel rooms, and apparently his automobiles with the usage of his own damn camcorder is that man's business. We should all be ashamed of ourselves. And I do say we, because we'll probably be discussing his wife's feet in depth during the football segment of our show tonight. So holla, and I'm going to pass that rock to my man PJ.
Dev, I completely agree, man. I don't see why that's news. I shout out to the old man trying to keep it spicy in the bedroom. And if he has a foot fetish, hey, get down like you live, brother. But I catch the rock, and I see the double team coming, so I'm going to pass out. But before I do, I just want to let y'all know that the letters NCAA stands for Ku Klux Klan. And with that, I'm going to pass out of the double team to my man B. Austin, the hot blizzard.
Come on, you mad, sir. Come on, you mad, sir.
P-Jeezy, thank you so much for that intro, and it's right on time. Five Ohio State players, including quarterback Terrell Pryor, must sit out the first five games of the 2011 season for accepting improper benefits. And this is an NCAA ruling that came out this morning. There's a sixth player that was also involved that will have to sit out the first game of the 2011 season. Now, what did they do, you may ask? To paraphrase and keep this thing succinct, they sold items ranging from jerseys to championship rings for under $2,500. They're college kids, y'all. They need money. They want to buy Doritos. They want to keep their Playboy collection updated. They play Madden, and Madden is expensive. They go out to the club. Now, I know that being Ohio State Buckeyes, they probably get in for free and get their choice of top-shelf liquor, but, you know, let's assume that they still got to spend a couple dollars. My issue with this really is, yet again, the NCAA comes in with a ruling that shows the interest of the student-athlete and even society's alleged morals aren't really at the center of this. Why? Because you found out about it this season, and you're still allowing them to play in the bowl game. You're still allowing that opportunity for the NCAA and the conference to benefit and make millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars off of these young men's sweat and effort. So, FOH, really, FOH. Oh, also, before I go, it was also brought out in their discovery that the rules weren't really even explained to these young men. So how can you punish someone for something they don't even understand that they're doing wrong? With that, I passed the rock. Go ahead and grab that.
All right. Thank you, sir. Yeah, that's interesting how the NCAA is doing these guys. It's crazy. All right, now, today, War Room family, I will talk about Mr. Rajon Rondo, the starting point guard for the Boston Celtics and the current NBA leader in assists at 14 per game. And he also averages 11 points, 5 rebounds, and 2 steals to go along with that. Now, personally, I think that Rondo is a very good NBA point guard, and he does everything you would want out of a point guard. He rebounds better than most point guards. He passes well. He plays tough defense. He gets steals, and he plays with heart. But the one thing he doesn't do well is shoot. Now, he currently shoots 53% from the field, mostly from layups and floaters. He shoots 31% on threes. He's made 5 out of 16, and 31% isn't that bad, but out of 20 games, he's only made 5. Now, he shoots a dismal 43% from the foul line. I'll say that again, 43%. Now, as a starting NBA point guard, where they do that at? 43%? Now, teams are about to start doing hack-a-rondo, like hack-a-shack, at the end of games. I mean, if I was a coach, I might put it in. Now, coming out of the University of Kentucky after his sophomore year, I thought that Rondo could be an effective NBA point guard and that his shooting would just come around after years and years of practice. I even objected to the fact that Sebastian Telfair was named the starting point guard over him while Telfair was in Boston. I was telling people that Rondo was a much better PG than Telfair, which he has proved to be. To his credit, Rondo was the starting point guard on the 2008 Celtics and helped them get back to the finals last year. Now, in my opinion, if Rondo were a better shooter, the Celtics would have won the title this past year. If you all remember, Kobe was standing in the paint when Rondo had the ball at the NBA three-point line, basically double daring him to shoot. Like, go ahead, I dare you, I dare you, I double dare you. And Rondo didn't shoot. Rondo also shot 21% from the foul line in the finals. 21%. Now, to conclude, I will say that Rondo is not better than Deron Williams, as some think, Chris Paul, as some think, Derrick Rose, as some think, and Russell Westbrook, as some think, and is on par with Steve Nash, who's a ridiculous defensive liability, and Jason Kidd in their later years. Now, this was highlighted when Rondo was cut from the USA FIBA World Championship team this year in favor of aging Chauncey Billups, Derrick Rose, and Russell Westbrook. And with that, oh, before I pass it, Rondo, I actually train kids on the side and teach them, you know, I do shooting lessons, teach them how to shoot. So you can check us out at War Room Sports if, you know, I can fly up there and I can help you with your shot. But with that, I'm going to pass that rock to Mr. James Blueprint Williams.
Yo, that's hilarious because, you know, that's like his only weakness, which is amazing how, you know, that's your one glaring weakness and you don't get better at it during the course of a couple of seasons. I don't think he's getting any better. Anyway, what's going on, War and World? This is Jimmy, a.k.a. The Blueprint, a.k.a. Jimmy Bruckheimer. And I just want to briefly ask everyone listening one question. Why is it that no one is talking about how horrible Carson Hilton Palmer is playing? Now, I'm not a Bengal hater, although I have already questioned in the War Room why Marvin Ronald Lewis still has a job, and now I'm questioning why Carson Palmer is not being talked about by most of the media. I'm actually a Raider hater, so you can call me that, but I'm not a Bengal hater. Anyway, I'm not going to drop statistics on you like my War Room brother, Dr. Bayon, would. I'll just tell you that I watch the Sunday Ticket every week, and in the words of my brethren, PJ, Carson Palmer has regressed to a cotton candy arm, exotically inaccurate bum. My problem is no one is talking about it. Donovan McNow wearing a headset is now a third-string quarterback. And I'm not taking up for Donovan, but listen. Carson Palmer is playing with more weapons and is having a horrible season, yet no one says a word. The Jets were ready to bench their quarterback, and they have 10 wins. Meanwhile, Carson Palmer looks like he's playing Tecmo Bowl, and his opponent knows exactly what play he's picking. You know, is football so irrelevant in Cincinnati that they would allow the coach to stand on the sideline while they're losing and make a face as if someone farted? Will they continue to allow this no-good scavenger, catfish vulture, to continue to think to join up at quarterback and no one cares? If so, I think I should get a discount on my Sunday ticket because I'd rather watch YouTube clips of Sex Ryan's wife play with her feet than to watch the Bengals play. I'm nice. And with that, I dunk the ball.
Yo! Man, cue the crowd. Oh, man. Hey, B. Austin, man, you want to tell him how to get in touch with us?
Sure, good brother. Sure. You all right over there? Ladies and gentlemen, check out our website at www.warroomsports.com. Click on the Contact Us tab to send us a message about the company, the show, or to inquire about sponsorship and advertising opportunities. If you'd like to send an email to one of the hosts personally, if you want to get at Jimmy about his opinion about Rex Ryan's wife's feet, all of our individual email addresses are also on the page. Become a fan of ours at Facebook at facebook.com/War Room Sports. Follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/War Room Sports. Subscribe to become a fan of ours on our YouTube channel at warroomsportstv.com. For general inquiries, you can email us at info@warroomsports.com. Join the chat room right now as I'm talking to you during the show at blogtalkradio.com/the War Room. To get into the chat room, just sign up for a free profile on Blog Talk Radio. And if you don't want to create an account, you can sign in through your Facebook your Twitter, or your Google accounts. While you're at it, follow us, friend us, and favorite us to make the War Room one of your favorite Blog Talk radio shows, and to get updates and reminders about the show. Speaking of blogs, check ours out on the blog tab on our website. Please subscribe also to our iTunes podcast so you can listen to the show at any time on your own device. Anytime, folks, anytime. We'll be taking questions and reading posts from Facebook, Twitter, and the chat room every week during the show. Now, to call in and speak to the host live, you want to dial 323-410-0012, and we'll pick up in our studios live on Rodeo Drive. Press 1 when prompted. Pressing 1 is like raising your hand in class. Who knows? War Room professors might just call on you. All right. What's going on in the chat room, fellas? What's going on Facebook?
It's not really. The chat room hasn't woke up yet, and I'm still laughing.
Yeah.
But
what's on Facebook?
Are we waiting for our guests?
Yeah, what's going on Facebook?
On Facebook, it's like people might be doing some early Christmas shopping.
We stink. Like we ain't listening to them dudes.
We
hope. While we're waiting for our guests to get on the line, I guess we can go back to one of them grind topics, Jimmy. The ones that you.
Oh yeah, no doubt. You know, I'm always. As a matter of fact, You know what I want to talk about? Let's talk about the NCAA, because like I'm not gonna lie, this whole story that came out has really like pissed me off. You know, and I know that Mr. B. Austin's very opinionated on the matter, and I think it's a disgrace. Like, what do you mean you can play in the bowl game, but you can start your suspension next year? So what message are they really sending? I mean, it's a joke. This season watching college football, it's crazy. Everything, it just pisses you off at the whole you know, system. But go ahead, Def.
Yeah, I mean, it's all about the money. I mean, they're going to do the suspension next year, so all that means is every one of those players that are eligible to go to the draft, they're going to go to the draft. Why would you come back and serve a 5-game suspension? It makes no sense. They're going to get that money. They know without a Terrell Pryor and without some of those other guys, that Sugar Bowl is going to be empty. Or, you know, they're going to have empty seats in there, and they don't want that. So they're not going to suspend them now. It's real hypocritical.
Yeah.
This whole story
reeks
of the Klansman Creed. I really think they should start investigating the NCAA to see if any of those guys that sit on the board have any ties to the Ku Klux Klan, because I believe that they want nothing more than indentured servants out there with their jerseys on, making money for them in the Beef O'Brady's and the, you know, Cotton Picking Bowl. They're going to have the Cotton Bowl. We need to investigate the history of the Cotton Bowl. Remember there used to be a Cotton Bowl? I guarantee that has something to do with slavery, cuz. They probably going to have something to do with the cotton that was picked in that part of the country, man.
You know they played it in Texas.
Yeah, it's in Texas.
There they go.
I think our guest is waiting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, our guest is on the line, so we're going to bring him on now. But you guys probably know him from ESPN2, 10 a.m. every weekday morning. He's on arguing with Skip Bayless and the rest of those guys on First Take. He's also a columnist for ESPNNewYork.com. He was on with us one time last month, and you guys, you know, all the feedback was positive, said you loved it. So we want to bring him back to the show again, Mr. Rob Parker. Rob, you there?
I'm here, guys. How are you?
Pretty good.
Good.
How are you?
Good.
Doing great. All right. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas to everybody.
Man, the same
Thank
to you.
You. Same to you.
Same to you. All right. So it's been a while since we talked to you. A lot of stuff has happened. Actually, a lot of the same people are in the news that were in the news the last time we spoke to you, but, you know, for different reasons. So we're going to jump right into it. And, Rob, this is Devin. So I'm going to ask you about that game, since you, you know, cover sports in New York, about that game up in the Meadowlands on Sunday. Basically, we want to know how will the that devastating comeback by the Eagles affect the Giants moving forward. You think they'll shake it off and bounce back, or do you think that loss will have an adverse effect on them going into the final stretch?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, that's such a bad loss and devastating. I mean, it reminded me, I guess, of
when the Eagles beat the Giants, when Herm Edwards picked up that fumble of like a almost like a short game that you figured is a layup. That's when Joe Prusarczyk handed the ball off to Larry Zonka. You guys are way too young for that. But anyway, it's one of those that you will never forget. And I don't know, the Giants, it's going to tell you a lot about the character of this team and whether or not they're able to shake it off as just one of those things, you know, that just happened, or they're in a situation where they're going to be in free fall for the rest of the season, because that just shouldn't happen, not in your own ballpark with that kind of lead. I know Michael Vick and that Eagles team has been unbelievable, but still, that was just a devastating loss.
Yeah. Hey, Jimmy, you had a question?
Yeah. Hey, Rob, how you doing? This is Jimmy.
I'm good.
I was going to ask you about Purple Hands. I mean, excuse me, Brett Favre, who I personally think is overrated. But with all this news about Ohio State, I just want to know what your opinion was on the NCAA's ruling, and also if they had got their father to sell the merchandise, would they have got suspended?
I guess not, according to the NCAA. But once again, this is just perfect example of the fraudulent being of the NCAA, the hypocrisy that goes with it, the double standard that coaches can make multi-million dollars, but you won't give the kids money or something for them playing and doing what they do, and they try to sell you this idea of the free education. It's all phony baloney, all false, and we
can
need to be real and just pay these kids, give them what they deserve, and stop the games. And you know what?
Amen.
I'm serious. The only way this thing is going to change, and there's some lawsuits that are pending against the NCAA when it comes to like video games and likenesses and stuff.
Yeah.
That could be devastating if the NCAA loses, which they should lose, because they shouldn't have the right to have someone's image and sell and make money for the rest of their lives when kids only get a four-year education. But if I wish, and my dream and my prayer, and maybe there's somebody who's smart who's out there, is that somehow, some way, you could organize college athletes like a quote-unquote union where they speak as one, because they're being taken advantage of, and until they can get together and force the hand of the NCAA, they will always be pawns for people to make money off their backs. And I think it's a disgrace that it goes on, and I can't believe it's going on as long as it has.
Oh, man. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. Hey, man, that answer gets an applause from me, Rob. I'm totally on board with you. Bradley here. Wanted to take it right back to the NFL and ask you right now, as we stand, who would get your vote for NFL MVP and why?
Well, I know it's going to be Tom Brady. I just know it because of his pedigree and all the other stuff, but if I had a vote, it would be Michael Vick, only from the standpoint of, you were talking about a guy who came out of nowhere, a guy who was supposed to be a backup, not only comes in and plays, but the games that he has performed and at the level that he's played and lifted that Eagles team, which most people didn't even think were going to be in the mix for anything this year. To me, that's an MVP. And that Monday night game where he's unbelievable, and then the engineer such a comeback on the road against the Giants. When you put together this guy's resume, and I know Tom Brady's played well as you can the last 5 or 6 weeks and have an unbelievable season, but I'm telling you, Michael Vick to me is my MVP.
Even with the four games missed.
Yeah, because that's the thing that tells you so much, that not only did the guy not put up some unbelievable numbers with missing four games, he was injured and came back and continued to play at a high level. I think you get extra points for that.
Hey, Rob, this is Devin. I just wanted to tell you, it's probably a few of our listeners are probably really happy you said that, because Jimmy and I were on Facebook this week getting cursed out by a whole bunch of people because we were saying Tom Brady should be the MVP. But I'm sure you got people clapping in their houses right now.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm just saying, I think Tom Brady will win it, but I'm just saying if I had them both, sometimes,
right,
you know, you have to look a little deeper, and Tom Brady is obvious you know, is obvious because of how well New England's playing. But you want to talk about an out-of-nowhere performance and at a high level, Michael Vick has been that.
No doubt. Both of those guys are playing out of their mind. Rob, this is PJ. Just wanted to get into baseball real quick with you. Were you shocked when Cliff Lee came back to the Phillies? And in your opinion, does that move make the Phillies the prohibitive favorite to win the World Series this coming year?
Yeah, first of all, I was shocked. I mean, it told me a lot about his character because, first of all, they dumped him. Okay, so they dumped him for Roy Halladay. And then you come crawling back or, you know, willing to take less money to go back to play in Philadelphia. And you know what? You know, he says it's because of his family and they like their time there. And I'm not going to call the man a liar saying it's not true. But when a guy is willing, he did a LeBron to me. He wasn't willing to go somewhere, take the top loot and be the top dog. He'd rather mix in with other guys and have less pressure on himself, take his money, but not be counted on to be the number one guy. And with Halladay there, he can feel comfortable to be number two or three starter and make a lot of money, but not have the pressure of being number one. And I don't want a guy like that on my team.
I mean,
so,
but he still has to go out. He still has to go out, you know, on the hill by himself. It's not like he can take Halladay and those guys out on the hill with him every night.
No, but that's not it. You don't match up against the top starter of every team for the most part. Obviously, it's not always that way. But to me, it just tells me about a flaw that this guy, the last 2 years, was unwilling to pitch games 1-4 and 7 for his team, you know, to do something extra to try to help their team win. And you know, are they the favorites? Yes, the Phillies are the favorites. When you load up on pitching like that, you're going to be in every game. You have a chance to win. But just remember that Cliff Lee has been to the World Series the last 2 years, and his team has never won. So it's not a layup. It's not automatic. And last year, if you remember, it wasn't the pitching that was bad for Philadelphia. They couldn't hit in the NLCS.
Yeah.
And if you don't hit or get clutch hits, you won't win no matter how good your pitching is. You still got to get a few hits.
True that.
Kill.
Okay. Hey, real quick, Rob, where did you think Cliff Lee should have went before I ask my next question?
No, I was surprised. I thought it would be between the Yankees and Rangers. That's all. And I thought, if anything, he would stay with the Rangers because they had made a move. And you know, I just thought that if that was going to be more comfortable for him, more so than New York. I don't know. I guess he wasn't really a New York guy. I never really got that sense that he was really willing to take on that responsibility like CeCe did. A lot of people said CeCe wasn't a New York guy, but that guy's done nothing but win since he's come to New York. So I thought he was going to stay at the Rangers. I was surprised he went back to Philly.
Okay, yeah, me too. Now, let's move on to the NBA and basketball. Now, all I have to ask is, do the recent trades make the Orlando Magic a better team, in your opinion? And do you think they were panic moves related to the recent success of the Miami Heat?
I don't think they're panic moves. They were losing. I mean, there's no way that team should have been losing the way that they were. Vince Carter, a zero. Anytime you could get rid of Vince Carter, I think that's a plus. That's a big and the other guy who they messed up big time anyway, and I think they finally admitted their mistake, is getting Turkoglu back. That dude is a good player. He made it real tough on LeBron, and when they won and beat the Cavs in that series, that guy is huge. He can handle a basketball, he can pass, he can shoot, he can drive, and he can make free throws. And when you have a guy who handles the basketball that much at the end, you got to be able to make free throws. He's a really, really good player. And I think that's a great move to get him back.
Rob, this is Bradley. Just it's funny that you mentioned that about Vince because we all feel that he's sort of fraudulent. My pet nickname for him is the highest jumping human trash can man. But you know,
that's about it too.
What about Rashad Lewis in that whole trade situation? What is your opinion on him and what he'll bring to Washington versus what the Orlando Magic are losing?
Well, you have to give to get. So Rashard Lewis is just unfortunate. I don't have an issue with him. But in order to make a situation and you know, you have to give up somebody good. And he's a good player, and he can help Washington and get with Arenas. The Cora had run dry there. That just was a bad spot considering what had happened there. They probably waited way too long. They needed to make a deal and try to make something happen to get him out of town, and they finally were able to make something happen. So I think it's a win-win for both situations. They just needed to make something new happen.
All right, sure. Rob, thank you once again for coming on. We appreciate it. We hope to have you back pretty soon.
I appreciate it.
No doubt. You can catch Rob on you can catch Rob on ESPN2 on First Take, 10 a.m. Weekday mornings, and you can catch his column on ESPNNewYork.com. I'm sorry, Rob, you wanted to say something?
Yep, I was going to say I'll be on tomorrow on First Take with Skip, so check it out tomorrow morning, Christmas Eve, all right, guys?
All right, thanks, Rob.
All right, definitely will. Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas.
Bye-bye.
That was some good stuff. That's a different look at the whole Cliff Lee situation. I never heard that one before, but this is my favorite part of the show. It's time to talk some hoops, some basketball.
Jimmy got like 18 favorite parts of the show.
I know, right? He loved the show.
Yeah, you got that. Like you got that. The war room is hot though, fam. So anyway. First thing I want to talk about in reference to basketball is the players of the week, Paul Pierce and Tony Parker. Dev, you got their stats?
Yes, sir. All right, so Eastern Conference player of the week, Paul Pierce. He actually recorded a triple-double and two double-doubles on the week. He averaged 21.7, 8.7 assists, 8.3 rebounds, and 2.3 steals. Celtics went 3-0 last week. Tony Parker averaged 25.7 on 56% shooting to go along with 8.7 assists. He was third in the conference in scoring and fourth in assists. The Spurs, we all know that they're on that, you know, on that winning streak. So, of course, they went undefeated during his reign as player of the week. Boom.
Okay. Well, let me go around the table real fast and get you guys' opinion on the two players of the week. And I'll start off with you, PJ. What's your opinion on one Paul Pierce and Tony Parker?
Paul Pierce is what I thought he was, but I'm just a little mad at him for dunking on Lou. I'm just mad at him for dunking on Lou Williams yesterday in the game in the Sixers game.
That was
ignorant. But no, Paul Pierce is playing well, man, and the triple doubles and the double doubles don't surprise me. He's balling out, and that team is playing well. They're old, and it's interesting because both Tony Parker and Paul Pierce are on two of the oldest teams in the league that are playing very well right now. And it's interesting because we're still pre-All-Star break, and obviously these teams are built well, but I'm just wondering how they'll do in the final stretch come say, May into June. See how that all pans out. But right now they're playing very well.
Great point. Before I pass it on, I just want to say one quick thing about Paul Pierce, yo. I dislike dude. I think he has major game, but what's up with him flopping all over the damn court, coming to the game in wheelchairs? Like, yo, dude gets fouled and he acts like he just got shot, lays on the ground. Like, yo, he irritates me with that. I know Dev feels the same way.
Jimmy.
Yo, me.
He got
me
little purple hands in
him,
the drama.
Yo, because he irritates both of us.
Like you said, and the thing is about him, Paul Pierce is one of my favorite players. He's a dog on the court, but I'm watching the game last night, and it's not the first time you notice, but it's like, come on, man. What's all the flopping and flailing your arms and the look on his face when he's trying to sell it to the ref? he just looks
like
that
raccoon face.
The look on his face, the look on his face is priceless. Dude's look on his face is crazy.
I'm like, come on.
I'm just glad he cut that peasy.
Some of his teammates start to pick up on that. They start doing the same thing. Like, when he gets fouled, he acts like he got shot. He will lay on the ground for 10 minutes, hold the game up. Who is that KG? KG almost got in the brawl for, taking up for him when he was laying on the ground that one time.
And he wasn't even hurt.
He wasn't even hurt. He's a noodle.
I got one thing to say about Paul and the flopping. Velotti Dotti. We like to party.
Yo, hold on real quick though. Vlade used to do that, but he took it to another level. This man actually came in a wheelchair for no reason, yo.
He didn't receive a lot of attention as a child.
It's either that or he eating too much of that chicken. Akil, what's your opinion on all this?
Hey, when he went out on that wheelchair, man, the look on his face then looked like he was passing a stone.
Yeah, he was right.
Hey, Akil, go ahead.
Akil, where you at?
Oh man, let me weigh in on Paul the truth. I respect the bull because, yo, he does have major game. And I like all of y'all. You know, the flopping I could do without, you know, dispense with that. But he's such a clutch player to have no muscles. Like, how do you dunk and make those athletic plays when you look like you are perpetually at the age of 52? Yo, the boy has no muscles. And then when you look at his face and he grew the beard, yo, first of all, he's insulting Philadelphia with that beard. I don't know if he know that. But he is all Muslims, all black men. Yo, it looks like he got someone's chest taco meat hairs on his feet.
Yeah, that's nasty, guys. That's nasty.
He got cheek taco meat.
Ain't nobody saying nothing about Tony Parker, man. I guess the Spurs are that boring.
I know,
because
everybody want to know Paul Pierce. Yo, Tony Parker is boring, but, yo, he cut off his wife and his game got better.
Yeah.
Like they said, women weaken legs. Like my man said in Rocky 2, he said women weaken legs. That's what happened. He ain't getting no cash, so he playing better. He ain't getting no cash.
By the way, for y'all listening, that was PJ that said that before I start getting the email again.
Yo, I'm just reciting a movie line. That was my man. Mickey.
Yo, let's move on from that, though. Let's talk about the Mavs ending Miami's 12-game streak. Because, you know, Miami was on the road. They started playing ball until they played the team that could play. So I'll go around the table again. B. Austin, what you got on the Mavs beating the Lukewarms?
A talented lukewarm team ran up against a potentially great team and got exposed for what they are. In that game, it looked like, again, they weren't running any plays either. It was yo, your turn. Yo, nah, my turn. Yo, your turn. You get off.
Yeah.
Yeah, and plus your man, what's his face, the dinosaur-looking dude, you know, not the three kings, they're two and a half kings, Chris Bosh, a.k.a. Mr.
Dinosaur.
About
the Avatar?
He's like a dinosaur, yo. I think that's why he don't get fouled a lot, because, like, he's an extinct species, so they have to watch how they foul him, yo.
He's turning face up on them jokers. His eyes separate, spread apart on him.
Yeah, yo, PJ. PJ, what's your thoughts on the Mavs beating the Miami Lukewarms?
Similar to what Brad was saying. I mean, the Miami Lukewarms were playing well. It did seem as they were going to gel a little bit, but I still see some glaring, like, holes on that team. In particular, their inability to have any type of post presence whatsoever.
Real quick, can I interject? Yo. If Ramon don't get his 6'9", 285-pound ass in the post, I don't know what I'm going to do, man.
Put his foot on a block, put his back to the basket, and dominate, which he should be able to do. I just hope that at one point in his life he will develop that. Straight up. You bring up a good point, Brad, because I'm just thinking in terms of big men. But LeBron, you don't necessarily need a big man to have a post game. I mean, for your squad, you don't need to have a big man do it. Like, it can come from a, you know, point forward, if you will.
He's the same size as Carl Malone was.
How about that, Kill? And then the Mavs, like you said, are a very good team, especially. Go ahead, Brett.
The reason that none of their actual, you know, 4 and 5s go down there is because they got to keep the lane clear for LeBron and Wade taking turns going to the rack. But when I was watching the game, me and Jimmy were calling each other, talking back and forth. And, I mean, I don't want to keep sounding like a Heat detractor, but the streak, though the number was impressive, they hadn't played anybody. The only team in that streak, and we ran down the list last week, that they really beat that's a good team is Utah. And another thing we noticed in the game on the Mavs side of it,
Dirk, God, I was waiting for somebody to bring it up.
Was hot potato in the ball Yo, they want the ball in Jason Terry's hands in the last 5 minutes at all times. Go ahead, Jimmy. What were you about to say about Dirk?
First off, I'm going to need Jason Terry, a.k.a. Ralph Tresvant. Tell me the boy don't look like Ralph Tresvant from New Edition. But anyway, so I'm going to need the boy to stop spitting on the court in the middle of the game. I don't know what's up with that, but the boy just kept Hawks spitting on the court. Anyway, Dirk was so scared in the fourth quarter. Yo, he was getting the ball in the post against point guards and passing it back out. He wanted nothing to do with the ball in the fourth quarter. And then what made it worse is he comes out in the media and says that Jason Terry is our closer. That's who we go to in the fourth quarter. So when he passes Larry Bird in terms of scoring points, I heard people comparing him to Larry Bird, and I need no one to ever do that again as long as I breathe.
Yo, Tom Chambers would never say anything like that.
But Jimmy,
you
remember that particular play? Because you said with the point guards, you remember that particular play where the Heat got caught off in a switch. So Joel Anthony switched off of Dirk and was guarding Jason Terry at the three-point line. Dirk had the opposing team's point guard.
He had, like, Carlos
Arroyo
in the post.
They gave it to him in the post, and before the ball barely touched his fingertips, he threw it back to Jason Terry. Now, Terry made the J in Joel Anthony's face, but come on, Dirk. Come on, I try to defend you, man. Come on, man.
And the thing about it is I'm not hating on Dirk. I think Dirk is, like, the most skilled player in the entire league, but I think his heart pumps Kool-Aid.
Whoa.
But I'm not going to keep, like, disrespecting the ball, though. I want to get your opinions on Mike Miller coming back and how will he help the Heat in terms of him being a part of their rotation now. I'll go around the table. Let's start with Dr. Bayon. What do you think about Mike Miller? You think he'll help?
I think he'll help tremendously. I mean, he'll give them – you know, a 6'8 shooter who can also handle the ball and knows the game, has a good IQ, and I think he'll help. But now he may mess up some of the chemistry as well. You know, it's funny that their streak ended. He will take James Jones' spot, but James Jones just stands behind the 3-point line to shoot. Mike Miller actually takes the ball to the rack sometimes and tries to create. So,
but Bayon, on this team, will he do that? That's what I was talking to somebody about the other day. Mike Miller, of course, is a much better player than James Jones, and he can do more. But on this team, his role is going to be to stand behind the line and shoot. Like, when are they going to let Mike Miller handle the ball and take it to the hole? He's not in that rotation of it's your turn. So, I don't see him, not because he's not a better player, but I don't see him having a bigger role than what James Jones has done so far.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think we might just have to see, because sometimes they put lineups on there where, you know, Wade is out and LeBron has a little lineup around him, and then, you know, LeBron is out and Wade has a particular lineup around him. When I say lineup, I mean the other players that are playing in the game with him at that time. So I don't know if he may be able to excel when one of those guys is not in the game at the time, but I kind of agree with Dev and kind of Kill the same. I don't think he's going to be able to be too effective if he's on the floor with the other two, butt buddies
Kang.
Out there.
Yeah,
the other two.
Yeah, I would have to disagree with Dr. Bayon, not because the skill set and tools aren't there. I've been a Mike Miller supporter. I won't call myself a fan, but a supporter for a long time because his game is so versatile. Mike Miller, if y'all remember, was a 20-point-per-game scorer.
Hey,
Mike Miller can do it.
And
he's kind of a much, 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 much less talented Caucasian version of LeBron in that he's 6'8 and can play three positions. So with him playing three positions, he could handle the ball. But like Dev was saying, when are they going to allow him? They paid that man to come there and snipe only. So they're not going to get the benefit of his talents.
Hey, yo, check this out, though. What about those times when they go through those cold spells and, like, guys are just off? I think Mike Miller has enough heart inside of, like, you know what? Hey, these three are not getting it done. Hey, I need to step it up. So that might conflict with the team sometimes.
Now, that's true. That's more than James Jones going to do, because James Jones is always going to stay in his place because he's James Jones.
Yo, you need players like James Jones in the league. Everybody needs a hired gun, yo.
You know what, though? You said James Jones' name too many times tonight.
Yeah, we have.
Let's talk about something else. Let me get you guys' opinion on the Orlando Magic trades. We just talked to Rob about this, but I want to hear what your guys' take is on the Orlando Magic making all these trades. And also, I heard a rumor that they were talking about moving Jameer Nelson in starting Gilbert at the point. So I wonder what you guys think about this, whether that's a good move or how do you think about the trades they made thus far. I'll go around the table. Let me start off with Dev.
Yeah, I disagree with Rob. I think it's a panic move. He's saying, you know, they were losing games. Okay, if you lose a few games in the first part of the season and you trade away the whole team, you're panicking. And for, you know, all the mind games and the trash that they talked back and forth with Miami before the season started, I do think it was a direct effect of watching Miami, you know, pick it up and go on a streak and watching Boston, you know, leave the pack behind. They saw that and they panicked.
Okay.
They panicked.
Before I move on to anybody else, I think we got a call on the line that wants to speak. So let me take this call and then we'll move on to everybody else. But hold on for 1 second. Let me see. Rich, you're in the war room.
How you guys doing?
All right, how are you?
Good. How about you, brother?
Good. I'm in Tampa. Yeah, actually, I wanted to talk about a couple things, but since you were talking about the Magic, I think it was a great move they did with Phoenix. I just wasn't crazy about bringing in Arenas for Rashard Lewis.
Right. This is Devin, by the way. And I agree with that part a little more. I'm not like a Gilbert Arenas detractor, but I don't really think, you know, he's a great fit for that team. But to get rid of Vince Carter, you know, for Jason Richardson and who else did they get from Phoenix?
They got Turkoglu.
Oh, they got Hedo back. Yeah. So, yeah, I think the move with Phoenix was a great part of the trade. I'm not too sure what they were doing with Gilbert Arenas unless what Jimmy just said is true, and they're thinking about moving Jameer Nelson and letting Gilbert start the one. But I think at the point guard position, Jameer Nelson is better than Gilbert Arenas, so I'm not sure what they're thinking would be.
And what do you guys think about this thing with Larry Brown? I mean, it sounds like he was probably pushed out, but, I mean, what – I just think Jordan's made some crazy moves. They let Felton go to the Knicks, and he's tearing it up there. They let Tyson Chandler get away. I mean, what's going on with Charlotte?
Yeah, anybody want to take this? Because you guys don't know.
I'll make one quick statement. Jordan, as an executive, has not been successful in the NBA. I mean, that's just the bottom line. He still to this day has Kwame Brown on his payroll. He won't give up on him. I'm starting to think that Jordan must have got Kwame Brown's mother pregnant, and that's his son that he doesn't want anybody to know about. that's the only logic behind him still paying Kwame Brown. So, you know, I don't understand his moves as an executive at all, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I definitely think he was pushed out. I mean, they said that the decision was, quote-unquote, mutual. And we all know that Larry likes to leave places, but he rarely leaves places in the middle of the season, you know, if I'm – you know, like, correct me if I'm wrong, fellas, but he usually at least waits
a
year.
This is the first time it's ever happened.
He typically – yeah, he
so
typically does.
There was definitely some pressure from up top. Go ahead, PJ.
No, I was saying, and he definitely likes to be in a situation, obviously, with the younger players than he does. Like, he probably, from what I see of Larry Brown, I think he would definitely rather be in a situation, obviously, he would want to win, but I don't think he would want to be around, like, a whole lot of star power. He likes the younger kids that he can nurture and grow and build them into and shape them into his system that he's trying to build for that team. So, I don't know. I definitely think it was a little bit of MJ saying, you know, your services are no longer needed in the community.
Now, yo, check this out. Check this out. This is Phil Jackson's last year, right? So, when he retires, do the Lakers go after Larry Brown?
Or does Michael Jordan try to get Phil to come coach his team?
Yeah, that's another.
Thanks for your call, Rich.
Thank you.
Thank you for your call, man.
Take care, Rich. Thanks for the call.
All right. Go ahead. That's a good question, Kill.
Yo, that would be funny, guys. And with Phil,
which way though? Which way? If Larry Brown coached the Lakers, or if you know, if Phil went over there to be with MJ again?
I don't know if Kobe is ready for that though, because he and Phil have just gotten to a point in his career where, you know, Phil lets him. I mean, I don't think he really wants to do it. I think Phil encourages him to take practices off to preserve his body and stuff like that. And, you know, Larry really not trying to hear that. So I think he and Kobe might bump heads.
Not only that, when Phil looks at that, he and Phil going to be like, hold up. No, I think I'm going to
– I know, right?
He'll
going to say, where are the strip clubs in Charlotte? Because I think I want to head to the strip clubs.
Hey, Phil.
Yeah, that was some great questions by Rich. Rich put up some great questions.
Captain Jack and the other high jumping bull, Jerry Wallace, they're not famous enough for Phil to coach.
Yeah, that's not enough, Phil. But Rich brought up some great questions because I was actually going to get all you guys' opinion on the Larry Brown move. I heard our kills. Be off the. What's your opinion of the Larry Brown move by MJ?
Y'all know that as a player, I think that MJ is God MC. But as an executive, he's a fool. And he has shown repeatedly that he's a fool. Larry Brown is, in my opinion, the greatest coach, the greatest NBA coach of all time, you know, and no disrespect to Phil Jackson. I think what Phil does is great. It takes a certain edge and talent to be able to bring that many personalities and that many stars together. But Larry Brown wants to coach the war room hosts to an NBA title. That's what Larry Brown wants to do. And I respect that.
In our chat room, we got another conspiracy theory that Larry Brown's getting ready to go to Turkey and coach AI.
AI can't get a run. AI can't get a run, and Larry Brown getting fired.
In the face.
Yeah, Monty 215 said that's what he thinks. LB's about to go to Turkey. So, like you said, MJ, as an executive, Dev, you have any other thoughts you want to have on this topic?
I pretty much, when I answered this question, that was my thought.
Okay.
On.
Well, in terms of basketball, I got one more question for you guys before we move on. The two big matchups on Christmas, I want to get you guys' prediction. And the two games are Boston at Orlando and the Miami Lukewarm at the Lakers. I'll go around the table and get your predictions for the two games. Start with you, PJ. Who are your two winners and why?
I got Boston winning the Orlando game because I think Orlando is still trying to get their bearing straight in terms of the new players that are on their team. In the Heat-Lakers game, I like even though the Lakers have fell on some slightly bumpy times, I still like the Lakers because I think Kobe, who in my opinion is the best player in the NBA, rises to the occasion knowing the star power that's there, knowing the being on the main show like that. So I think Kobe. I don't think they have an answer for Powell at all. I think Powell actually may have a better game than Kobe.
Okay.
Other than that, that's
all right. Cool.
I like.
Well, let's see, Dev. Dev, what's your two picks for the Christmas game?
It's like four or five games, and we're ignoring the other ones, but I don't.
We talking about the big boys. We talking about the big boys right now.
No JV. No junior varsity.
So Boston at Orlando, I'll give the edge to Boston. It's a home game for Orlando, so they should have, that edge with the crowd behind them. But they're still a newly traded team that's still trying to gel. So I'll give that game to Boston. The other matchup, I actually think Miami Heat are going to go into L.A. and beat the Lakers on Christmas. You heard it here first.
Mm-hmm. Okay. B Austin, what's your opinion?
I got the Celtics beating Orlando. They're a better team. And just to sum up that trade, as Rob said, any chance to get away to get Vince Carter away from your team is a good one. And I also think that Gilbert hopefully will get some run at the two. I heard Devin say that, Jameer is a better point guard than Gilbert is. I do think Gilbert's the better player, but, yeah, Jameer is a hometown kid, so I'm a fan, and I do think he's a better point guard. Now, Heat and Lakers, Lakers, man.
I'm with
Lakers.
You,
the Lakers are too big, man. The Lakers are too big on the front line. Too many second-chance opportunities. And I heard PJ say that, in his opinion, Kobe is the best player in the world. Is that really opinion or is that more fact?
I think it's fact, but I was just trying to be humble and call it an opinion.
Yeah,
all right, well, let's see with Dr. Bayon. Dr. Bayon, our PhD in the room, what's your opinion on the two games?
I think, like Dev, I think the Heat are going to be so fired up, and they have so many people going against them, and they just lost to the Mavs. I think the Heat are going to take this game on Christmas. And I also think, although I think long-term the Lakers will be a better team, and I think the Celtics will win, but I believe the Magic will actually have a better showing because they've been losing since that trade, but I think the pieces will start to gel together.
Okay, and in my opinion, it's funny. I saw Kobe on TV last night, and Kobe was saying how this game don't mean nothing to him. Phil don't even want to be there to coach. Kobe says he don't care. Yeah. He said because last time they got bombed on Christmas, they won the championships, and that's all he's thinking about. So I'm kind of like listening to these two guys talking. I'm not sure, but I agree with B. Austin that if their front line comes to play, I can't see them losing this because Heat are small. Now, in terms of Boston and Orlando, when I watch Boston play, I don't think there's any team in the league that plays defense the way they do. I mean, these guys go at it defensively, and I don't think there's any other team in the league that can match them up that way. I think Boston's going to beat Orlando. So those are my picks.
Hey, Jimmy, you just said, though, about with Phil and Kobe and how they were talking, that goes into my opinion. I just think the Lakers, I think the Heat have much more to play for, you know, because if they beat the Lakers, all the talk will be back. The Heat, the team to beat, and I think the Heat.
I agree with that.
And I don't think the Lakers care about that.
Yo, Phil don't even want to be there. Yo, Phil said he got some other stuff he's trying to do. He said he got some books to read.
as the son of Mike, like yo, Kobe don't like when you shake the tree, man. Kobe don't like when you shake the tree,
I just think they're gonna show improve when it's playoff time. Go ahead, PJ.
Yeah.
I think Kobe's competitive juices is going to start boiling.
Yeah,
now.
That's
even
what
though
I'm saying.
Going
like,
to the game chilling, I think when they start like showboating and LeBron starts trying to do the kid and play and the MC Hammer dance on the sideline, I think Kobe is going to say, all right, well, let me show this young man how it's really done. I don't know. I agree. What y'all saying is a very valid point. They're not tripping over this game. It's dumb early in the season. So we'll see. It should be good watch on Christmas, though.
Yeah, hey, PJ, you want to go ahead and tell everybody how to get in touch with us?
Yes. Real quick, you guys can check us out on our website at warroomsports.com. Click on that Contact Us tab to send us a message about our show, our company, or some sponsorship or advertising opportunities. If you want to send an email to the host personally, all of our email addresses are also on that page. We encourage you to become a fan of ours on Facebook at facebook.com/warroomsports. Follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/warroomsports. Subscribe to and become a fan of our YouTube channel at warroomsportstv.com. For general inquiries, you can email us at info@warroomsports, and you can join the chat room. I'm sorry, info@warroomsports.com. You can join the chat room right now during the show at blogtalkradio.com/thewarroom. To get in the chat room, you just need to sign up for a free profile on Blog Talk Radio. If you don't want to create an account, you can sign in through your Facebook or Twitter accounts. And while you're at it, follow us, friend us, and favorite us to make The War Room one of your favorite Blog Talk Radio shows and get updates and reminders about our show. Speaking of blogs, check out ours by hitting the blog tab on our website. Please subscribe to our iTunes podcast so that you can listen to the show at any time on your own device. We'll be taking questions and reading posts from Facebook, Twitter, and the chat room every week during the show. Now, to call in and speak to the host, just dial 323-410-0012. Press 1 when prompted. Pressing 1 is basically like raising your hand, and who knows, one of the War Room professors just might call you, call on you.
Boom.
Back to you guys, Jimmy.
All right. Anything going on in the chat room?
Yo, there was one statement that Monty215 made that I found funny. He says that Dirk is a girly man because even Detlef Schrempf wanted the ball in the clutch.
Detlef
was
nice. Even though I defend Dirk, man, I can't defend his fourth quarter acumen because he has none.
We sat there and watched it. It was embarrassing, yo.
It was
Detlef hitting jokes in German.
Yo, y'all ready to talk some football, though?
Yeah, sure.
Hell yeah.
Hey, football players got Hort. What's the first topic, Jim? Go ahead into that.
Yo.
Dun, 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 dun.
Let's talk about, I want to talk about PJ's favorite player, Terrell Owens, because PJ still thinks Terrell Owens the top five player in the league. He's the IR
top
right
nickel,
now.
Baby. Top nickel, baby.
Let's go, T.O.
Ocho Cinco wants T.O. back next year. What do you guys? You guys think T.O. is really going to go back there, or you know, what do you think is going to happen with T.O.? I'll go around the table again. B. Austin, give us your thoughts on T.O. going to the IR.
He's going to have a job next year because you can't deny the production, but it's not going to be with Cincinnati. And based on that production, I think Chad need to watch himself because T.O. put up way better numbers.
No, he might replace your ass.
True that.
hey, Dev, what's your thoughts on the whole situation?
Basically the same. The Bengals don't really seem interested in bringing him back, but all of this man love between him and Chad, especially on Chad's side, I just want to tell Chad.
You are gay.
I don't mind, man.
Yo, all right, let's see, PJ, what's your thoughts? I know Tia was your homie.
Yeah.
What's your thoughts on the whole situation?
That's my little cousin. Yeah, but basically, man, I think that T.O. probably isn't going to come back, but I think he would get a job. There's been a little bit of chirping out of him, some stuff about the Bengals and the management. I just wish he could just stifle that a little bit, because now he's getting older. He'll be 38 next season. So, I mean, granted, his off-season workout regimen is what keeps him in contention to make a roster.
Popcorn ready!
Straight up, but I just, we'll see. But, he almost had a stat. He had, like, 983 yards until he got hurt last week, because he was going to get a stat. Now, that ain't hard to be in here, but still.
Yeah. In the chat room, Monty215 said that he was done with Chad when he let T.O. come to his team and call himself Batman, and that's faggotry.
Exactly.
So I'm just reading what it says in the book.
Woo.
Yeah, that's
no, but
that's
listen,
crazy.
T.O. didn't even start that. He didn't even call himself Batman. Chad
yeah,
called
he
him
did.
Batman.
Yeah,
that's
Batman, and I'm Robin.
Yo,
Bay,
you got anything you want to say?
I think T.O. has the ability to play till he's 43. Now, the thing is, will NFL teams sign him until he's 43?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Yeah,
one-year deals. One-year deals.
Like Jerry Rice out there.
Yeah. My opinion on this whole thing is why you need to. You got other issues like Marvin Lewis and Carson Palmer, because Carson Palmer is like regressing. He's out there looking like Ryan Leaf. And Marvin Lewis, he's on the sidelines making his face like somebody farted the whole game. So, it's funny. I say, as soon as I say they're looking in the chat room, the Broad Street Line is in the chat room, and they say, "What's with all the man love between the Bengals owner and Marvin Lewis?" And I asked that same question. I think he's just being cheap. He's just being cheap. He don't want to pay two coaches at the same time.
He don't
want
to pay him after firing him. Right.
Exactly. Marvin Lewis, his contract runs out at the end of the season. So I think he's going to move forward at that point, because I can't see him.
Hey, Jimmy, let me get his number out real quick.
Yeah.
If anybody want to call in, talk some NFL, that number is 323-410-0012. All right.
Yo, and by the way, we do have a call on the line real quick. So before I move on to the next topic, let's take this call. I got it, you guys. 570-762, you're in the war room. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Yo, what's good? What's good? It's Jay. Yo, what up, guys? It's Jay.
Jay,
what up, Jay?
Jay.
What up, Jay?
What up, Jay?
What's good? Cooling. Listen to this show. It's still quiet for a while, man, but I'm about to touch down in Jersey, so I'm about to get off the phone.
Hey, you coming from Turkey?
What happened?
Are you coming from Turkey?
Nah, from Turkey. Nah. But yo, Brad, I did get you that AI Turkish jersey, my nigga. I told y'all I'd come through with that. Nah, man. I got some of my Bengali connects out here to give me a bootleg. Alan Iverson Turkish jersey with the official Adidas tags. But I got you, baby. I got you.
What you want to talk about, Jay?
Well, I was listening to most of the show, man, and when the dude from ESPN was on the line, I pretty much agree on the VC trade. VC right now got old legs. I don't even think the dude could cut boys no more. So he was good to let go. I think they made a mistake with getting rid of Petrus, because he was an up-and-comer. The dude was young, gritty, you know what I'm saying? He had a little jump shot. They should have held on to him and got rid of one of the other bums. Now, the Jameer situation, I agree. Jameer is a better point guard, because he plays a true point guard position. But as an overall player, Arenas is better.
That's what I was saying.
He can shoot the ball. He can put it on the floor. You know what I mean? But it'd be good to see them play one and two, you know what I mean? Because Arena's short, but he definitely could play that two position.
Well, what's up with the defense then?
With the what?
With the defense.
I don't know, man.
Yeah, he don't play no
defense. He got that Hocus Pocus team. Was that what he was calling himself? The Wizard or the Magic or whatever it was?
Agent Blue? Agent Zero?
That's where his defense was at zero.
Blue Magic.
Hold on.
All right, Jay.
Hold on. And then on the other note, Boston over Orlando, and LA over the beat, the Miami beat. Because
they can
beat all day. They ain't going
nowhere.
The T.O. situation, the dude going to get picked up, and then by the next year, he going to be on Pros versus Joe's, and he going to be good to go, man. He's going to have another talk
right,
show.
Pros versus
and he going to be good to go.
Thanks for your call, fam. We
Thanks,
holler at you
Jay.
On Facebook.
Hey,
thank you.
Merry Christmas, Jay. Merry Christmas, Jay.
Oh.
The Hocus Pocus defense. Yo, from the Wizards to the Magic with his Hocus Pocus defense.
Jay got me laughing, though. But hold real quick, you guys, real quick. I got one question for everybody, and I'm going to go around the table. I want to know what's going on with your man, Sex Ryan, and his foot fetish, yo. I know, Dev, you said you had something to say about that, so, Dev, go ahead.
I didn't really have much to say, but I just PTR'd about it and criticized everybody for bringing it up. But, of course, we were going to bring it up. What the hell y'all think? I don't see what the big deal is, man. The dude having fun with his wife. I don't know who released it. You know, Deadspin was the first to have it. It's just the dude having fun with his wife. There's nothing that he can get in trouble over, so I don't understand why, in the press conference, the media is really pressing him for an answer.
I heard he released it himself to get attention off his team.
Yeah, I can believe that.
I mean, it originated with him.
He on his Pat Riley, Phil Jackson, John. PJ, you got anything you want to say about Sex Ryan?
Yeah, I mean, like Dev said, it's not a story. Like, I don't even. I'm surprised that when it came out and then I saw the video, I'm like, all right. I mean, he already trying to keep his seat, trying to keep it funky in the bedroom. He like a feet. He, you know, gets some Viagra, put her feet on his forehead, and they get it in, and that's what's up. I don't mind the man, but, spicing up that sex life.
Yo, I feel that everybody, first of all, it's sad that this is a story. Like, come on, y'all ain't got nothing to talk about. And then secondly, outside of, I do agree it could be a ploy by dude to get attention, because that's the type of person, we talking about it too much. But going beyond just him, yo, the boy married, man. I mean, I'm sure that we all know married folks that do much, 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 much worse.
Yeah,
but
Jay
it's between them. They're married.
If he wants to dip his
peanut butter and smear it on her face, yo, he's allowed. That's his wife.
All right, real quick. Let's move on. Bayon, you got anything you want to say about this?
Actually, nah.
Yo, FOH with that. Real quick, though. Old Purple Hands, a.k.a. Mr. Overrated, Brett Favre, he came back, and to my joy, he got murked again. But this selfish prick, excuse my language, he still doesn't want to sit out. He still might not be done. You know, instead of just going home to his ranch, this selfish dude still wants to come back and play. So, I know Brad's going to take up for him because he's a Favre protection, but this guy's a disgrace to the entire family, the whole Favre family. DJ, what's your thoughts on
this? Me?
Hey. Brett.
I think my thoughts are best expressed in song. You got to know when to hold, know when to fold, know when to walk away, because your time is done.
The war room vocalist. Go ahead, PJ.
PJ, what you want to say about this?
Yo, I think Brett Favre wants to die on the field. I honestly think he will keep playing until somebody murks him. He either wants to die or become a quadriplegic from playing. And unless they get him and get him off the field and just don't let him come out, hide his uniform, tell him that the game got moved to a different time and location, they gotta sneak around this dude because he's gonna keep popping up. I just want him to stop. That's all I feel. He got to stop.
They hide his uniform, yo. He might still play.
He might come out there with his long Wranglers on. He gonna come out there with some Wranglers on.
One of the leather helmets from back in the day. He come out with a leather Eddie Murphy.
Hey, Dev, what's your thoughts on Old Purple Hands? What's your thoughts?
It's definitely time to go. But I mean, you can kind of feel him. Like, you don't want to go out if it is his last season, you don't want to go out laying on your back, you know, because you just got knocked out again.
49. Like, what's the difference? Yo, there's no way he's going to go out and play because
they could be doing what the Redskins are doing, evaluating their other two quarterbacks.
But
far,
but he's being
ain't nothing to evaluate.
Yo, he's a loser. Yo, he's a selfish loser. Hey, Mr. Bayon, what's your opinion on Purple Hands?
Yo, I thought it was interesting that right after he got hit, you see linebacker number 59, Farwell, come in. And I just thought, man, is this like Brett Favre's farewell? All you have to do is add the I and Farwell is farewell. Like, you know what I'm saying? That might be his last game. And another thing I've realized is that, you know, hey, their third-string quarterback is Jason Bourne. You know, David Webb, but this guy's name is Joe Webb. You ever, if you watch the Bourne movies, Bourne's real name is David Webb.
David Webb.
Yeah, anytime I hear Joe Webb, I think about Jason Bourne, not his quarterback skills.
Yo,
you're
first
wrong with
off,
the Bourne trilogy.
First off, within the game, he was throwing a bunch of, he was throwing up nonsense. He should have had like four fars because they're not called interception no more. They're called fars. He did throw one far.
Did you see the one play where he threw one, they called it back, and then the very next play he threw another one?
Yeah, he got mad because they called his pick back, so he threw another one.
Yeah.
Yo, he's a bum.
That reminds
yo,
you of the 2004-05 Super Bowl between the Eagles and the Patriots.
Yo, I don't even want to talk about old Purple Hands no more. Let's talk about somebody else. Let's talk about another horrible quarterback. Donovan McNabb wearing a headset has been benched, and then Rex comes in and throws four touchdowns. I know pretty much know what all you guys are going to say, but I feel like laughing, so I'm going to go around the room again. TJ, what you got to say about Donovan Mc third string?
I don't want to sound like a Donovan hater, but I hate
but you
him.
Are.
Exactly, I hate him. He sent me through a decade of misery. But, no, it's sad in a way because I just feel like Donovan can't get it done because he never really could. And I feel like right now, it's with Rex, I mean, Rex threw some picks too, but at the same time, Donovan just can't, he might just be old right now. I honestly think Andy Reid hit a lot of his inefficiencies, or, you know, I just might have just freestyled a word for y'all right there. But I think Andy Reid freestyled a lot of his deficiencies, because straight up, man, this dude, and the Shanahan just don't have the time for it, man. He's like, look, Shanahan is a little mini Hitler, so he ain't trying to be nice. I'm gonna pass to somebody else because I don't know what to say about Donovan, man.
Hold on,
before I move on,
real quick, you said he's a mini Hitler. I got another question for everybody out there in the war room who can call in. Can anybody tell me why Michael Jordan, a.k.a. Fed, is rocking a Hitler mustache in his new Hanes commercial?
Yo, stop smashing my old head, man. You always kill an MJ,
I mean,
man.
I just thought about that. You brought up Hitler.
But MJ, we
on
football, man. I know.
Dev, what you got to say about Donovan?
It looked like a totally different offense. And I know Rex Grossman is not that great, but as far as that, you know, offense looked, it looked like a different offense. He's not the answer, but he may be their short-term answer until they can, you know, get one of those quarterbacks out of the draft and actually groom them. Now, I want to quickly touch on what's been happening in the media in D.C. because I do think to a certain extent, you know, Donovan's being disrespected. But at the same time, they say they want to evaluate the rest of the quarterbacks and the team is no longer in contention and where's all the disrespect coming from? Okay, it's time to look at somebody else. But what people have been falling for, Donovan went on the radio and said he didn't know that he was third string to watching it on SportsCenter. And to that, I say FOH, Donovan. I live in D.C. That news was out way before SportsCenter got a hold of that news. He had already confirmed that he and Mike Shanahan had talked, and he told him he was going to evaluate the other quarterbacks and basically, he also told him that there's no guarantee that he's going to be back on the team next year. And now that's the big thing going back and forth here because they're saying, you know, Shanahan came on the radio yesterday and said, well, I don't know why he's saying that because we spoke last Thursday and he knew the situation. But a lot of people fall for everything Donovan says, man.
So you call Donovan
his
a liar.
Woe is me. Yeah, he's on his woe is me. I want everybody's sympathy. So I'm going to go out and say this, and I'm going to be the classy guy, and people fall for it. They eat that up. He knew.
I got a new name for him. Yo, his new name is Donovan McScreen Pass because when he was here, Andy Reid threw 68 screen passes a game to hide the fact that this man can't play the quarterback position, yo.
Jimmy, right before you finish, and Westbrook would take him 40 and 60 yards for touchdowns, and McNabb got all the credit from the people.
Shout out
didn't
to Westbrook.
Yeah.
Shout out to Westbrook, fucking San Fran.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. At least he's getting on SportsCenter.
Yo, I listen, Mr. Bay, Dr. Bayon, what you got to say about this? You got anything you want to say?
Man, McNabb, nah, man, I think I've said enough through the year.
Okay, cool. I say B. Austin for last. I know he's going to have something smart to say about the situation. What you got to say about this, B. Austin?
Gentlemen, you may want to back up from your earphones. Lemmings, are you listening? Protectionists, are you listening? The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was making you fools believe that Donovan McNabb is a real NFL quarterback. Did you hear me? The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was making you believe that he is a real NFL quarterback. And we all know all devilish deals that get made and done in the dark come to the light. I'm done.
I have a quick question. Are you calling Andy Reid the devil? Are you calling Andy Reid the devil? That's all I want to know.
He was doing the devil's work in allowing that man to start all those years in Philadelphia.
Let's move on. I have one more football topic. I just want to get you guys' opinion on it. Of course, we didn't talk about this, but the miracle in the Meadowlands. The miracle in the Meadowlands, yo. We got to talk about this.
Amazing.
Got to talk about this. I'm going to be real brief before I go around the table. For me, I just couldn't believe all of the things that had to go right for that to happen in terms of even down to which side they were facing. The punter for the Giants had the win in his face. Like, there's so many things that had to go right for that to happen that
credit.
I still don't believe it happened.
Who got all the credit?
But who got all the credit? Mike Vick. Yo, I saw Deshaun Jackson run back a touchdown, and people were saying good play by Mike Vick. Mike Vick gets the credit for everything good in Philadelphia. Yo, Mike Vick runs the city right now, yo.
But one thing to think about, though, Jimmy, if it wasn't for Vick in scoring the touchdown to tie the game up, that kick return by Deshaun wouldn't have made a difference.
I don't think people
are saying that he ran a kickback, but, I mean, come on. In the fourth quarter with 7 minutes left, I mean, Vick pretty much took that game over. So I think
PJ,
that's what people are.
I agree, but people are overboard with the Vick. Somebody went on our website this week and said that Vick is a king who was once crucified, but now he's back. What is that?
I know, but I mean, are you surprised,
PJ,
though? That's my question. That doesn't surprise me, though.
Hey, but this is my thing right here. Because there's a fine line. There's a difference between giving him props, because I give him props. He balled his ass off. But there's a difference between giving him props and giving him all the credit for that. That was several occurrences of the perfect storm coming together for that game to have turned out how it turned out.
Dev, what you're saying is
when you say that, what do you mean by that, though? You say the perfect storm.
Okay, you have Vick who just went away from the offense, which at that time of the game is what we need to do, is what we've been wanting Donovan McNabb to do for years. So he balled. He moved the team up one of the drives damn near by himself and scored. Then you had the Akers kick. Yo, that kick went a perfect 10 yards right into the receiver's hands. The Giants didn't
That's
even know
play
what
of the game.
That was a great
That's
call.
A
the Giants
game.
Didn't even have, they didn't have the hands team, and they weren't even looking for it. So you're right.
Because the Eagles didn't line up for an onside. He ran
they
to the ball
exactly.
as if he was going to kick it. So that was like the perfect – because did you see Josh Scobie try to kick an onside kick the other day? That's not the easiest thing in the world to do. So we got the perfect onside kick. Then we got back on the field. Vic drove him down again. The dude – I'm telling you, they got something in the water down in VA because they got those kind of athletes who just don't quit, and that's the type of dude I like, skills aside. So after that touchdown, we still needed our defense, which was terrible through most of the game, to get another stop. The defense got a stop. We got a sack. And then it happened. Mike Vick was the greatest part of that, but that was the perfect storm of things, man. You can't give all the credit.
Yeah, I agree. That's anything with any comeback. It's definitely going to have to be a lot of things that come into play. I mean, to score 28 points in less than 7 minutes, obviously no one person can do that. But I think it just in terms of our offense, who the Giants had bottled him up for 3.5 quarters. So, and it really, like you said, it really wasn't nothing. He went away from the offense because it was nothing downfield, and he did what he had to do. So I think it's in a combination of the fact that he kept fighting and the whole team kept fighting, the defense got stopped when they needed. The kicks and everything, the kick, the onside kick, the call for the kick after Andy Reid made a horrible decision not to challenge Deshaun's fumble. Yeah. So you're right. I mean, some things fell into place. And hey, look, when any comeback like that, it's going to be some luck and some hard work.
A lot of it's going to be mostly luck. Mostly luck and a lot of hard work. But yeah, dude, he plays a never die style that we haven't seen at that position
since Randall. Since Randall.
Right.
So, no, I give him 100% props for that. But
yeah,
it was amazing.
So you're, Dev, what you're saying is there's a difference between props and blasphemy.
Basically.
Hey, they're comparing this man to Jesus.
These numbers, man. We got to get to these numbers.
I'll be quick, man. Yo, the never say die attitude, I really appreciate it. I can see that Mike Vick is working on his craft as a quarterback, which is something he didn't do in Atlanta. So now to see it come full circle, I'm just happy for the dude, man. I'm happy for him. I don't think he's the MVP of the league, but I don't think he's a bad choice. That particular game, it was the perfect storm because our defense stood up and made plays when they had to make plays after they allowed one of their corners to be sexually assaulted on the field for 3 touchdowns. They manned up in the clutch and came through to allow the offense to get back on them. You got to understand, we were down 31-10 in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
No, that's crazy.
31-10.
We got some activity in the chat room real quick. Let me tell you about the chat room. In the chat room, Monty215 says, Mike Vick repealed the don't ask, don't tell early this week. And also, Mike Vick's tears can cure cancer.
Mike Vick is Chuck Norris.
Yo, he has, basically. Yo, Mike Vick doesn't wear a watch. He just decides what time it is.
Yo, he walked into that Sixers game last week, and the crowd forgot that it was a basketball game.
Yeah, he has a star. Yeah, he has crazy star power. They said that on ESPN, Sal Palantonio was saying, since he's like a Philly ESPN correspondent, that he's been getting calls from all over the world, like areas that don't even you would never even think that they like Asian countries, Middle Eastern countries, so they can write stories on Mike Vick about just wanting to get some information from him. And he's like, he's never experienced this since Allen Iverson, since he was covering just like Philly sports. Like he really had that type of star power. Yeah, so it's amazing. I mean, to see where he came from, it's a heck of a story, though. To see where he came from 2 years ago doing push-ups in the cell to this, I mean, it's amazing.
We talked about a good
shot. See, even Rob said that, though. He said because of his story, where he came from, he should get – I don't think his story should play a part in his MVP. He's balling. But if he's going
to
win –
No, I don't think the story has nothing to do with that. We
talked about all the great stuff about this game. I have one quick question, you guys. Dimitri Patterson, about him being sexually assaulted. The Broad Street Line says that they think Izell Jenkins is actually better than Dimitri Patterson. How bad was
it? Whoa.
No, Broad Street, don't be prisoners of the moment.
No, hold up. They were being sarcastic. Everybody knows that Izell Jenkins' nickname was Toast, but he was just as bad. It got to the point during that game.
Like that.
Yo, it got to the point during that game where Eli wasn't even looking. He just looked to see where Patterson was lined up and threw to that side. He didn't care what route he was running.
Yeah, they was putting offensive linemen and stuff out there to, like, run patterns on him.
Yeah. It wasn't all gravy. But anyway, that was one of the greatest games. That's one of them games where you're going to remember where you were, like, when you saw it years to come.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think we still haven't really realized how great a victory that was. But anyway, last point about this whole thing is in the chat room, someone should research Mike Vick's story and find out why he's still rocking them long-ass points.
You see where he's from.
My man, my co-host at War Room told me that when Deshaun Jackson runs, it looks like someone's pressing fast forward.
Yeah, I definitely did say that. That young man is so fast that in the previous game when his leg was messed up, he was hurt and he still was running faster than everybody else. Like, come on, man.
60%. He said he was running 60% when he roasted us on that outplay.
Demetrius Patterson's new name is Interstate 23. That's what the Broad Street line said. But anyway, that's enough.
We're going to move on to the to NBA history by the numbers. So if you guys want to call in, if you think we forgot somebody at a certain number, you can call in 323-410-0012. Now here's what we're going to do. We're going to go down the list. We're going to start at number 00, and we are going to try to figure out, you know, try to get a consensus on who's the greatest 00 of all time, and then we're going to go, you know, each number from there, and we're going to try to get to as many numbers as we possibly can. We got about 18 more minutes, so let's start 00. Jimmy, who you got as the greatest
The first thing I think of when you say 00 is the Chief, and the Chief is the man because he was, you know, smoking Chiba and still putting in work.
I got the Chief, too. I got the Chief. Anybody want to disagree with the Chief?
I got Duckworth from Portland. Say like, no, I got the Chief.
Kevin Duckworth.
Yeah, I got the Chief. I got the Chief, Robert Parrish.
All right. So we got the Chief at number one. Somebody write this stuff down, man, especially the ones we agree on. Anybody got a pen and a pad? We can probably post this on Facebook later and see who disagrees. So, let's move to number zero, from 00 to zero. Bam. Mm. Who's your greatest zero of all time?
I got Gilbert Arenas, Agent Zero.
Gilbert. All right, Gilbert's he's the first one that comes to my mind also. Are we forgetting anybody, fellas?
The only person that's been close really to me would be Drew Gooden, and we know that Gilbert is way better than Drew Gooden. Although
what's
the fans of Boston, my man Vashawn Leonard.
His number was there. I don't even remember his number being zero.
Nah, it was only for Portland in 06.
Yo, I'm trying to move on and this list not working.
Yo, what about Spencer Hall's at 00 going back? Anybody got something to say about Spencer Hall?
Why are you bringing up Spencer Hall's, man? Let's move on.
Yeah, no, Spencer Hall's, guys.
Who's the greatest number one of all time?
I would say that's a tie. I would say that's a tie between Oscar Robertson, who wore it for 4 years in Milwaukee, and Tiny Archibald, who wore it for a little bit.
I ain't got no tie. I got Oscar, Big O.
The Big O, yeah.
Yo, but Pee Wee Kirkland was a legend in two games, yo. Anyway.
Yeah, it wasn't.
Pee Wee Kirkland. Yo, is anybody's list messing up but mine?
Mine is too.
I'm freestyling, yo. Let's move to number two, yo, because I'm definitely freestyling.
All right, number
two.
Lady,
you thought it's traffic.
Let's see, number two. Did Larry Johnson
number two? You
got to
think about Mitch Richmond, right?
Yeah.
What about Mitch
Richmond? Yeah, Larry Johnson wore number two.
Mitch. Yes.
So
yo,
did
Mitch
Weber. Was
Chris Webber
wear?
Yeah, Chris Webber. He wasn't Mitch Richmond. He wasn't part of Run
Maloney.
Oh, Moses
Maloney.
Oh,
Moses
going
to take us to the promised land.
We got to get Moses in there because Moses said 4-4-4. Moses said, I'm going to put him in the post. He's not going to stop me down there. Who's going to stop me in the post? I'm not going to put my name on the post. Anyway.
All right, Moses.
It got to be Moses or Money Making Mitch.
Mitch ain't no Moses, man.
I'm a Mitch fan, yo. Mitch was nice on NBA Live.
Mitch was nice.
Mitch was sick on NBA Live, cuz. He was getting Jordan work.
Mitch is number two behind Moses.
Yeah. All right, let's go to number three.
We all know who it is.
I got
Bubba Chuck.
D-Wade? No, I'm joking.
Kill?
Kill don't got Bubba.
I got AI.
We got to go to Kill.
I got AI.
All right, you got AI.
I got AI. Yeah.
Cool.
Well, I'm
shocked. All right, let's go. somebody is writing this down, right?
No. No.
Hey, man, Cricket. Are you here with Cricket?
Hey, we can podcast it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, we definitely listen back into it. Anyway, listen to number four.
Webb, C. Webb.
Clint Richardson.
Joe Dumars.
Joe Dumars is one of the most overrated players in the history of the NBA, and anybody disagrees can eat bricks because Joe Dumars is overrated.
Yeah, he is.
Put that out there. I even knew you and Dad was going to take that.
Hold on, number four. AI wears number four now.
We talking about practice. Not a game. Not a game. We talking about practice.
Practice, man.
Hey, this list playing us out, so
it is killing me.
On the top of the dome, though, you got a number four. You want to say C-Web, or you want, you know?
I know somebody better than C-Web.
You going to say Dumars?
Yo, I think it's back now, though. Try it again, though.
Yeah, I got it. Tony
okay. Chris Bosh, what an avatar.
All right, I'm going to go ahead and go, I'm gonna go C-Web.
Derek Fisher. Yo. What about Derek Fisher when he was with the Warriors?
Okay.
Charles Barkley wore number four when he played with the Rockets, yo.
Yeah, but when he was with the Rockets, he wasn't the greatest Charles Barkley, so I'm going.
I got one. Hold up, though. I got one, yo. What about Rick Barry, yo?
What about Rick Barry?
Yo. Yeah, I got to go with Rick Barry. Rick Barry, definitely.
And John Lucas.
But Rick Barry only wore it for 2 years.
Y'all know Moses wore four, too, in Washington.
You give Moses everything, yo.
The only person I would say outside of Rick.
Yeah, why are we forgetting about Adrian Dantley? Why are we forgetting about Adrian Dantley? He wore number four.
We'll go Rick Barry. Adrian Dantley.
Yeah, you're right. All right, well, my one would be Rick Barry. My second would be Pepe Sanchez when he played for the Sixers. That's it. Pepe Sanchez.
Yo, check this out, though. Yo, Rick Barry wore four for 2 years when he was in Houston, and he wasn't really doing anything. Barkley might have had a better number four career in Houston than Barry, just to be honest. I don't know.
That's true. So by that logic,
what about my man Dolph
Shaver? That we're using,
it's
it
hard
might
to
have to
switch
somebody
numbers.
Like Adrian Dantley.
So
it's between Adrian Dantley.
Adrian Dantley.
AD.
I'm personally going C-Web, yo.
What about Popeye Jones?
Yo, C-Web is not better than Adrian Dantley.
What about Antoine Jameson? He averaged 20 and 10.
What about my man,
Stone
Miles Swift?
What about him?
Why
didn't
okay.
Why
didn't
him? All right, so
I'm going to go C-Web, man. I'm going to go C-Web.
Yeah, I go C-Web. No, I'm going to go Dantley. I'm
going
to go Adrian Dantley.
I'm going Adrian Dantley.
Come on.
Yeah, I go Dantley, too. I go Dantley.
We got three Dantleys and two C-Webs. Y'all sell out, yo.
Number five.
Hey, what's up? Hey, Dolph Shays, who I've never seen play in my life, number four. Yeah, he played for the Syracuse Nationals and Philadelphia Sixers, and he's in the Hall of Fame.
None of us seen him play, though.
Tell Dolph
Shays. Right.
Yeah. Yo, 86, yo, number five. Let's go number five.
Kwame Brown. Oh, my bad.
number five, I mean.
Hold up. Big Shot Bob, yo.
Man. Baron Davis.
Y'all fronting on Big Shot Bob.
You got KG at number nine. Kevin Garnett.
Jalen Rose
with the Celtics.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to have to. But in his Celtic years, though, his best years was with Minnesota.
Minnesota.
Jason Kidd in Dallas and New Jersey.
Yeah, it's a wrap.
Kidd.
What about Ansu Cisse?
Or Ala Abdul Nabi. I'm gonna go Jason Kidd, man. Jason Kidd going
what about Rusty LaRue?
Like no, being serious though, like on a serious tip, it gotta be Jason Kidd, Joe.
Yeah. Or Guy Rogers. What about Guy Rogers? He wore for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7,
yo,
8, 9, 10, 11 years. I never seen him play.
We ain't familiar with his body of work.
No love to him, yo. Yeah, we're not familiar with his body of work. We going JK.
They didn't have color videos when he was playing.
Now, here's going to be one. Yo, here's our first tough number. This is going to be a tough number, yo. Number six, yo. The number two, the two top guys got to be the Doc. And then you got Bill Russell, too. And I know everybody wants to say Bill Russell.
That's difficult.
And you got Shannon
Bill
Brown.
Russell was another one that I didn't see play. I saw Doc play, and I'm a Sixers fan, man. I'm going with Doc, man.
I'm going with Doc. It wasn't a tough one for me. I was like, what's Jimmy talking about?
Yo, I'm going to go with Doc for one reason, yo, because the joint with him and the joint with Grover Washington, that joint be bagging, and Doc be dunking the video. Tell me y'all never saw that before. Yo,
yeah.
go to YouTube and look up Dr. J and Grover Washington, like the Grover Washington joint, yo. It's beautiful, yo. It's like magic. Anyway, I'm going Dr. J,
yo.
And we all should go Dr. J because we from Philly, and if we don't, it's blasphemous.
And after
yeah,
Doc, we can go Ronald Flip, and then we can go Ronald Flip Murray from Strawberry Mansion.
I'm about to cut your mic.
Yo, and we could go, hey, we could go Avery Johnson. Avery Johnson.
Well, let's see what Avery
Johnson.
You better be ready to cut
Master,
his mic.
Excuse me, Master, can I leave the plantation early on Friday? I got a new girlfriend, and I'm trying to hit that.
Avery Johnson, everybody. Avery Johnson.
All right, we got to speed it up. Number seven.
I got Eddie Jones.
Number seven of all time.
D. Brown. I know
who PJ's going to say, so I'm not even going to ask who PJ's going to say.
You already know. You ain't even got to take it there. I got Kenny Anderson.
Kenny G.
I think we all should pick Kenny G's.
Yeah, Kenny.
Come on, Anthony.
How about Brandon?
What about Royale with Cheese Ivy?
Is in the mix.
Royale Ivy.
Juwan Howard rocked seven when he was playing with the Nuggets.
Ben Gordon.
Trying to have a sharp shape up somewhere. Ben Gordon.
Kenny G's. Kenny G.
Lamar Odom. Jermaine O'Neal.
What about Kevin
Brandon
Johnson?
Roy?
Only
Brandon
one.
Roy.
What about Tony Kukoc?
Kevin Johnson. Somebody said Kevin Johnson in the chat room. Monty said it got to be Kevin Johnson. You know,
I think all the people that we're saying, Kevin Johnson, that was my young
but
idol.
I know you a Kevin Johnson stan, but the grocery line says Pete Maravich wore number seven.
Oh,
what about Kenny Skywalker that played for the Knicks? What about Kenny Skywalker who won the dunk contest for the Knicks?
Yeah, yo, I'm going with Pistol Pete. He wore it for 5 years.
Yeah,
I'm going with Peter.
We got to go Pistol on that. We got to go Pistol Pete.
No, you got to go Kenny. Come on, man. Kenny Pete, man. That boy was left-handed, too.
Hey, yo, but Tiny wore seven, too. Tiny wore seven for 6 years. Tiny Archer.
Man, get that white boy his prop, man. It's Pistol, man.
Yeah,
sorry, number, yo,
yeah, wait, oh, did y'all see Kenny Anderson? Yo, Kenny Anderson was on Basketball Wise complaining,
he's on NBA Wise,
apologizing
yeah.
to, yo, apologizing to his ex-wife, and then she was balling, and yeah, I was like, oh, scary.
Yeah, the girl that he was his ex-wife from the real world. Yeah, she
yo,
Can we
just skip number eight, like, seriously?
Well, what about Kenny Battle that played for the Celtics? I like Kenny Battle. Number eight.
Number eight is Kobe.
Yeah,
we Brody Walt Bellamy.
Yes, he did. Then he went to 24.
Hold on.
Brody Bobby Jones.
Number nine has got to be my man AI Iguodala, baby.
Oh man,
yo, somebody cut that man. Yo, cut that mic off, yo.
Yeah,
y'all gonna stop hitting, yo.
Come on, with me. Y'all gonna take
Rick Brunson.
I take Kendall Gill.
Oh,
let's see what else.
What about Tariq Abdul-Wahad?
Yeah,
what about
that, it? That's him. That's what I got.
Yo, man.
I don't know. Jimmy may have a point here.
It's only one other. It's only one other. One other possibility. One other possibility.
Gilbert
wore
number nine.
Rajon Rondo.
Wait. What about Dan Marley?
I don't care about Dan Marley. Yo, hey, yo. Luau Dengue wore number nine.
Man.
Yo,
yeah.
Tony Parker
wore
number nine. You want to keep it?
No, I got one for you. Money, Nick Van Exel. I got Nick Van Exel over AI.
Yeah.
Nick Van Exel,
yeah.
He was on NBA Live too.
He was nice on NBA Live
a lot. Wasn't he nice on
he
NBA?
He put in work on NBA Live. But yo,
I got my number nine is Nick Van Exel. Man, Nick the Quick. That's what they used to call him. Nick the Quick.
Yo, Thunder Dan Marley was number nine. But yo, real talk though. AI, man, Andre Iguodala, because on NBA 2K10, not 2K11, but 2K10, he will dunk on you from anywhere on the floor, yo.
Yeah,
I got
five. He has primate blood pumping through his body.
And by the way, if any of our listeners, if any of y'all listeners want to see me in 2K, yo, my screen name is King Jimmy Joe Fur. So that's all I got to say.
I got Bob Pettit.
Got Pettit.
Bob Pettit.
Number nine.
Yeah. Bob Pettit, number nine.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go Bob Pettit, too. Don't ask me why.
Bob Pettit? Come on, man.
I'm going
with
Nick Van Exel, man.
Tell me one play you've seen Bob Pettit make.
Pettit. Nick the Quick.
Yo, ain't no Bob
I'm going
Pettit.
I'm going on my NBA historic knowledge now. The number
yeah,
10.
But you skipped, yo, but you skipped on a couple other them old cats because they was old. So you got to skip on Bob Pettit.
No.
You can't tell me one movie,
man. I can't give it to
you
Nick
can't
the
tell
Quick.
Me. You can't give it to Nick.
I'm talking about Iggy, man.
Number 10, indubitably is Walt Frazier.
Earl
Monroe.
What about Monroe?
Yo, that would be hard.
Hey, I'm telling you, Archibald wore every number in the book.
Yeah, Nate. Yeah, he did.
He changed like every game or something.
Yeah,
Sam Cassell was number 10 too.
Sam yeah, I got Earl Monroe when he was
Earl. All right, we got Earl.
What about
Tim Hardaway? The runner up.
Tim Hardaway.
What about Tim Hardaway?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I forgot. Tim.
You got Tiny
Tim.
He don't like gay people.
Jumping Joe Fawkes.
Ew.
Yo, what about
Hank
and Jack,
Walt,
a.k.a. Samuel
Dallin Bear? Nah,
I'm
going to go Earl
Monroe.
Earl the Pearl.
Earl the Pearl? Yeah, with the
Earl
Baltimore
Pearl
Bullets. Yeah, Earl the Pearl was the truth, man.
Yeah.
Earl the Pearl was nice. Yeah. He was nice.
11.
I'm going 11
off the top. I'm going Isaiah Thomas. I'm going Zeke.
11, yeah, I'm going to have to go with Zeke.
Yeah, we got to go with Zeke.
Paul.
Zeke got to be 11.
I'm going Paul Arizin because he played for the Philadelphia Warriors and he did not kiss Magic.
That was a shot at Mag.
I know he's got a big shot for the man with a Hitler mustache.
Rafer. Rafer.
Like, no. Rafer.
What number? Yo, what number we on, yo?
Yo, I got Kenny Anderson because Kenny Anderson for the Hornets to 96 and 03 and 05 with the Hawk. I got Kenny Anderson.
So which number? What number we on?
12.
12. Cool. Oh, we're tripping,
cold.
Yo. Bob McAdoo.
He was number 12?
Yeah.
No, Bob McAdoo wore number 11.
Yeah, that's true. I got Zeke.
All right,
we're bragging. World Be Free was number 12. World Be Free.
I'm going World Be Free because he's the hang with me at the Sixers game.
He was only 12
game
like
weak,
one
though.
Year, though.
Yeah, I know. He need to get a new tailor.
What about
what
Dwight Howard?
Now?
Oh, yeah, Dwight
number
Howard. 12. I'm tripping.
Dwight
Howard,
Howard
too.
John Stockton was number 12, yo.
Oh.
Yeah,
oh, yeah,
right.
Stop.
Right.
I'm sorry.
Stockton got it.
I go with stop. Yeah.
I apologize, John. All right, 13.
That's a weak number.
Who wore number 13? That number is trash.
It is. That's a quarterback number. That's my quarterback
yo,
number.
John Amici wore number 13.
John Amici did? Well, then we need to get past.
Hold on. Will Chamberlain wore 13. End of story.
Yeah. All right, number 14.
That's why.
Yeah. All right.
Yo,
we're going to have to.
Number he wore.
We're going to have to continue this series another time. So we're going to post some of the ones that we did on Facebook and in some of our different forums. We can argue about it there. But for now, Jimmy, you going to take us out until next year?
Oh, that's right. We ain't coming back on until next year? Hold up. What's next week, yo?
Next
you
week
said next year.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's the 30th. We still got one more show in the year. I'm jumping.
Yeah, that, yo, that's tripping, yo. He's talking about next year, yo. You scared me for me. I might say, yo, what do you do? Hot tub time machine? Anyway, yo.
Like, I'm going to miss my favorite part of the show.
Yo, anyway, let's get out of here, y'all, because we had fun today. But anyway, we'd like to thank everybody once again for joining us in the War Room this evening. We hope you all enjoyed tonight's show. Special thanks to Rob Parker for coming on from ESPN. You can watch him on First Take
He's actually going to be on there tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. on ESPN2. So since you all for the holidays, take a look at Rob. You can also read his column on ESPNNewYork.com. Be sure to tune in next week to our last live show of 2010, same time, same place. We'll discuss some football, some basketball, the Christmas matchup. And our main topic will be entitled Assume the Position, No Rainbow. We'll discuss the perception of race playing a part of what position athletes play in their particular sport, you know, such as running backs and, you know. Anyway, don't miss it because it should be a good one. So until next week, everybody, Merry Christmas, Happy Kwanzaa, Happy New Year, and we will holler.
Holler.